Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. And we are in the book of Job. In fact, we're finishing out Job today, Job 41 and 42. So if you find the middle of the Bible around Psalms, turn left and you'll find Job, Job 41. We will read through these two passages of Scripture, take pauses for devotional thoughts, application thoughts at the end, and then close in prayer. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for Job. And as we finish Job today, Father, help us to know what we're supposed to take away from this book. What are we supposed to do with it? How can we honor you with it? In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Job 41. God is continuing to question Job and using a lot of rhetorical questions. Verse 1, can you pull in Leviathan with a fish hook or tie down its tongue with a rope? Can you put a cord through its nose or pierce its jaw with a hook? Will it keep begging you for mercy? Will it speak to you with gentle words? Will it make an agreement with you for you to take it as your slave for life? Can you make a pet of it like a bird or put it on a leash for a young woman in your house? Will traders barter for it? Will they divide it up among the merchants? Can you fill its hide with harpoons or its head with fishing spears? If you lay a hand on it, you will remember the struggle and never do it again. Any hope of subduing it is false, the mere sight of it overpowering. No one is fierce enough to rouse it. Who then is able to stand against me? So, she's using Leviathan. I know we looked before at Behemoth in chapters previously. I know somewhere in here, people think we're referring to dragons, but we don't know for sure. But he's using, obviously, this awesome creature that they knew at that time, that they were not going to make a pet, and that was stronger than them. And now he says, verse 10, who then is able to stand against me? Who has a claim against me that I must pay? Everything under heaven belongs to me. I will not fail to speak of Leviathan's limbs, its strength, and its graceful form. Who can strip off its outer coat? Who can penetrate its double coat of armor? Who dares open the doors of its mouth, ringed about with fearsome teeth? Its back has rows of shields tightly sealed together. Each is so close to the next that no one can pass between. They are joined fast to one another. They cling together and cannot be parted. Its snorting throws out flashes of light. Its eyes are like the rays of dawn. Flames stream from its mouth. Sparks of fire shoot out. Smoke pours from its nostrils as from a boiling pot over burning reeds. This is why people think it's a dragon. And it might have been. Its breath sets coals ablaze and flames dart from its mouth. Strength resides in its neck. Dismay goes before it. The folds of its flesh are tightly joined. They are firm and immovable. Its chest is hard as rock, hard as a lower millstone. When it rises up, the mighty are terrified. They retreat before its thrashing. The sword that reaches it has no effect, nor does the spear or the dart or the javelin. Iron it treats like straw and bronze like rotting wood. Arrows do not make it flee. Slingshots are like shaft to it. A club seems to it but a piece of straw. It laughs at the rattling of the lance. Its undersides are jagged potsherds, leaving a trail in the mud like a threshing sledge. It makes the depths churn like a boiling cauldron and stirs up the sea like a pot of ointment. It leaves a glistening wake behind it. One would think the deep had white hair. Nothing on earth is its equal, a creature without fear. It looks down on all that are haughty. It is king over all that are proud. Wow, so most of this chapter is about this dragon-like creature. But right in the middle, God says, so who's able to stand against me? I made Leviathan. All right, chapter 42. Then Job replied to the Lord, I know that you can do all things. No purpose of yours can be thwarted. You asked, who is this that obscures my plans without knowledge? Surely I spoke of things I did not understand, things too wonderful for me to know. You said, listen now, and I will speak. I will question you, and you shall answer me. My ears had heard of you, but now my eyes have seen you. Therefore, I despise myself and repent in dust and ashes. So, Job, even though God had said there's, you know, righteousness in him, humility in him, he struggled and he questioned God, and now he's repenting. Verse 7. After the Lord had said these things to Job, he said to Eliphaz the Temanite, I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. Wow. I mean, all of those dialogues, all of those things that they said about God, much of which is true in the scripture, but he's saying what you said is not true. Verse 8, so now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You've not spoken the truth about me as my servant Job has. So Eliphaz the Temanite, Bildad the Shuhite, and Zophar the Namathite did what the Lord told them, and the Lord accepted Job's prayer. Isn't that interesting? God allows us to see all of that dialogue in his word, now only to sum it up as not true. And now they need to repent. They offer sacrifices in front of Job. Job prays for them and God forgives them. Verse 10. After Job had prayed for his friends, the Lord restored his fortunes and gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone who had known him before him came and ate with him in his house. They comforted and consoled him over all the trouble the Lord had brought on him, and each one gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring. The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the former part. He had 14,000 sheep, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters. The first daughter he named Jemiah, the second Keziah, and the third Kiran-Hapuk. Nowhere in all the land were there found women as beautiful as Job's daughters, and their father granted them an inheritance along with their brothers. After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children to the fourth generation. And so Job died, an old man and full of years. And that's the end of the book of Job. Well, what do we take away from these last two chapters? Well, for me, I first begin with where I think all of Job has been about. It's been about God, God's sovereignty, God's choosing, God's mercy and grace, God's holiness, God's creation. Everything points to him. In the end, everyone has to repent. If they want to live, if they want to be right with God, they have to repent. Everyone. That included Job. Job has got a blessing. He chooses how to bless. He blessed Job twice as much as before. It's still hard for us to understand. I mean, Job lived all those years. We're not going to live close to that. He had a whole family and all that stuff is gone, including those 10 children. It's like, that's what we would be thinking about. But God has such a different viewpoint. And then my response personally, there's a couple things come to mind. One is, I'm probably way past half my life, but I want to look at the years that God has given me that I've left to honor him, to serve him, to hopefully be used by him. But I must live in a continual state of repentance, confession, humility, because even Job got in a tough spot with his attitude. Understandably so, when he thought he was all alone. So I want to have the right attitude toward God. I want to honor him with my life as Job did. I want to be able to see through the accusations of others. I want to commit them to God and humbly live for him. What about you? Father, thank you for the book of Job. Thank you for these last two chapters. Thank you that you are the one and only true God. You are creator. You are above all things, Father. I have nothing to say against you ever. Father, I want to be humble before you today. I want to continually confess my sins and repent of them. Lord, but I also do not want to be strayed away from those who would make accusations against you or against me or your people that are not true. Father, you allow difficult things in our lives, even when we're not sinning. All for your glory, all for your praise. May I live for you today. In Jesus' name, amen.